Welcome to the Life, Success, and Legacy podcast. We're glad you're here, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey, everybody. We want to welcome you back to the next episode of the Life, Success, Legacy podcast. I'm Chris Bay, joined by the three Mikes. How are you, gentlemen?
Mike.
I'm going to jump right in. Recently, we returned from the annual Nelson Nash Institute think tank, which is always a highlight and great opportunity to learn, to reconnect. And so what we thought we'd do for the listeners is to kind of share some of the highlights, some of the takeaways that we had from the experience. And that we'll try and give you a snapshot of what the experience is like. All the way from the organization of the Nelson Nash Institute, the board. We welcome some new practitioners and how do they do that, to the content of the presentations, and then just to the social, the friends, the reconnecting with people that we've been connecting with for over a decade. So
yeah,
we'll jump in. First of all, we had, everybody's coming from different directions and traveling and getting there. And Mike Everett, we kind of call him like the LSL dad because he loves to make the arrangements and AKA control.
Oh, stop it.
He likes to make the flight arrangements and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, let's start where it needs to start, though.
Okay.
So
okay.
The think tank historically has always been in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's where the Infinite Banking Concept office is. That's where Nelson was, David was. So everybody converged onto Birmingham, Alabama, but they changed it this year. And we flew into Las Vegas and then wandered our way down to Henderson. So one of the things that I was looking at was most of us were coming from KCI, but then we had other options too. And then we found out that Kwong wasn't going to get in until later. So I thought, normally we would get a shuttle from the airport to the hotel. And I called the hotel and they said, no, we don't have shuttle. You'll just have to Uber or taxi. Well, then I was looking at our crew. So we had the three of us, excluding Kwong, we had Haley and her boyfriend and Shelly. And I'm going, man, that's a bunch of Ubers. We're going to have to really kind of figure this out. So I called the hotel and I said, hey, I said, do you guys have any options of getting us to the hotel? She said, well, we can set up transportation. I said, perfect. I said, can you just tell me? I said, we're going to have six, probably maybe seven, but let's just say six. She said, I'll take care of it. Well, she sent me the confirmation, and right on the confirmation, it says, they're going to pick us up in a limo. And I go, I'm in full agreement with her selection. And so she told me that the guy would text us when he is arriving, knowing full well when we were going to get to the, because he had our ticket information and when we were going to get in. So when we landed, I got a confirmation. He said he'd be down by the luggage, even though we all carried on. We got down there and he goes, hey, he goes, so he and I are walking ahead of the group, this and that, and we're getting almost out. And he goes, hey, I'm going to just tell you right now. He goes, the regular six person limo wasn't available. So we've got he called it an ultra stretch. And I'm going to tell you what, when we got out there, I'm going to tell you this thing would hold 16 people when he said ultra stretch. And as the proud dad of LSL, Man, was I excited. I might have done a moonwalk or a strut or something when we got out into the area where the vehicle was, but man, was that fun getting over to the hotel. The only thing we didn't do was we didn't get out of the sunroof. And
yeah, you know, we should have done that for sure. Mike Crawford, give us the specs on that stretch limo. What was that?
It was huge. It was a Cadillac, wasn't it? Was it a Cadillac?
I think it was a Caddy.
That was something else. That was like
a stretched Escalade.
Yeah.
It was.
Thing was huge.
Humongous. I don't even know how to like categorize it.
It had to be 28 to 30 feet long.
Yeah.
It was long. Beast.
So we all got in and we're just laughing and having fun and having the experience. So that was a good time. Yeah.
It was a great time.
So then, of course, the event was held at a hotel. And because it's in the region of Las Vegas, every hotel has a casino attached to it. Mm-hmm. And you've got to walk through the casino to get to everything, of course. Everything, restaurants and everything. So, yeah, that was fun.
What a juxtaposition to have IBC convention in Vegas.
I heard a lot of people say that same thing. Yeah. Like, what are the odds that they would hold this at a place that there's a casino? You know, here we are talking about financial responsibility and like
safety, security, all those kinds of things. So.
10 feet away is the slot machine, you know?
Yeah.
And the smoke.
Kong, has your arm recovered from all those slot machines you were pulling on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I broke a few of those, but yeah. No.
So let's get into the actual think tank. And, you know, several of us have been attending for years, long time. Mike Everett, I don't know how many of these you've attended.
19.
19?
19. Yeah. I've missed two, though, in those 19 years. One, my mother-in-law passed, and then I missed the year or 2 years ago because I had shoulder surgery like the week before the think tank.
I think one of the things that really jumped out at me and the timing was just, I mean, it was almost perfect to be able to celebrate Mary and Nelson. Nelson, at the time of this recording, actually his anniversary of his passing was yesterday. And Mary, we got word, had passed just
the week before
the think tank.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the family, they're getting ready and preparing for the think tank and all this, and then they lose Mary. Mm-hmm. But I thought they did such an amazing job, and some of the practitioners put together a video celebrating Mary specifically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
and her relationship with Nelson and her marriage and all that. And so that to me, like to start the whole think tank, to like just bring it all back home to where this started, that was really impactful to me. I don't know if anybody else have any comments on that piece.
It was big.
The thing that really came back to me was 1 year Linda came with us, and she spent the entire Friday with Mary. And Mary took her to all of these absolutely incredible places all over Birmingham.
Yeah.
So Linda had an opportunity to reflect on it as well. Mm-hmm. And then when we saw Kim, it was really a real sweet time, because I've known David and Kim literally going on 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a sweet time. And she went on and on and on about her mom and of course her dad. And you remember when we were standing there talking to her, and she was just, you could tell she was emotionally distraught, but talking about Mary was just a sweet time of her to just kind of almost unload the pressure.
I felt super honored to be in that space at that time. One, because she knows you and trusts you, and you guys have a long time relationship, and to be there and just to listen to her memorializing her mom.
Yeah.
And grieving.
Really sweet.
And grieving.
Yeah,
you could tell she was in the moment, and so I just felt really, I felt really honored to be standing there and listening to her and her comments. So
yeah.
So you know, when we think about the Nelson Nash Institute, they have worked hard at making some continual updates and changes and things. And so they started really kind of outlining again some of the focus, the vision, leadership, the board. They spent quite a bit of time just kind of giving that overall umbrella of the organization. And I thought that was really helpful and pretty straightforward in just how they explained it and the direction they're going. Carlos did a great job. So Carlos Lara, Mike Everett, you want to just talk about the leadership and we can start getting into some of the content that people shared. Carlos, I was going to say specifically, he has talked about the 10% and we can unpack that a little bit.
So Carlos is, his was IBC's role in Sound Money Solution. And I'm going to tell you, I love Carlos to death, but let's talk about David for a second, because, you know, obviously David is the president and, you know, he kind of runs the show. Mm-hmm. And David's a military guy.
And so those who don't know, David Stearns is Nelson and Mary's son-in-law.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Married Kim, who was Nelson and Mary's daughter. Mm-hmm. And the thing I love the absolute most about David Stearns is he is a bottom liner. There will not be any meandering down the path. There's not going to be any flowers along the path. He wants you to know it's going to be dry. It's going to be straightforward. And either you like it or you don't. And if you don't, he doesn't care.
Yep.
And I love that. I love that.
I love that.
And Carlos, on the other hand, you know, he is a warm, caring. He wants everybody to understand the things that he shares.
Yeah, and he's philosophical.
Very. And I'm going to tell you, I hope he doesn't listen to this, but I have not been a giant fan of some of his past talks. This was by far, even with the fact that a couple of years ago he had multiple strokes, mm-hmm. and had to rehab and come back. But this by far was one of his very best. Mm-hmm. And I actually, I stayed sitting the entire time. My business partner might have said something to me along those lines.
Well, Carlos, but, yeah. His content is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
And he is incredibly well thought through in what he's presenting and well read and knows the history and everything else. But for those who are fast movers, he is very methodical in his presentation.
Yes.
And that just isn't Mike Everett style.
Uh-uh.
He's like, come on, let's get going. Yet, let's get going.
Yeah, yeah, but yet it, because of his delivery and his approach and the content of the sound. Ooh, there it is. The perfect investment. The Sound Money Solution. And, you know, obviously because of the way much of it wrapped up, the biblical content at the end was just, it was so right on the money. It warmed my heart for not only for where Carlos is, but for where the ultimate path and destination that the IBC practitioners, the Nelson Nash group, is heading. I really appreciated that.
So for years, the topic has been the 10%.
Yeah.
And that goes back to a book called The Tipping Point. And the general idea is once you get to a 10% of population believing or applying or what have you, then the momentum really takes off. I mean, we've even seen that with infinite banking in our culture.
Yep.
We've seen that in our own little business at Life Success Legacy. We have experienced that tipping point. And so the goal of the Nelson Nash Institute is to get our culture, our community, to the 10%, to the tipping point where people understand and know about it. So our goal is to spread this word as far and wide as we possibly can, and educate people on how this concept works. So to Mike Crawford, Mike Kwong, for you guys, when you think about the content of the presentations, we had 2 full days of presentations, and then Mike Kwong, you stuck around for another activity called the Connection Zone. Several of us had flights and had to get back, but you were able to stick around. Of those 2 days of presentations, I mean, it's jam-packed. This was the largest attended think tank, I believe, in history. And the presentations were fantastic, and they touched on a wide range of things, but I think we all walked away with, there was a real effort on the majority of the presentations to stick to Nelson Nash's message and becoming your own banker. Mm-hmm. So of the content, and we don't have to go through all the presentations, I don't think we have time for that, but were there some highlights for you guys that jumped out?
Yeah, I think for me, the Jonah and Jeremiah do their presentation was extremely impactful from a, you know, a different view. They're both, they're from Greenville, South Carolina. They are African-American, and they were raised differently than us. And their presentation talked a lot about different struggles that their community faces. And I thought it was extremely impactful, well presented, extremely professional. And ultimately still 100% focused on Nelson's principles, you know, and the underlying, you know, theme that Everett always promotes is that, you know, we have a gift. It's our responsibility to share it. And I think they did a really, really good job of holding true to those principles.
You know, I want to touch on, I apologize, Mike, I'm thinking about something real quick. You know, one of the things that they really touched on was the trust within their community.
Yeah.
And I think about what we do and the trust that we create with our potential clients and clients, and then the ongoing relationship that I know that both of the Dew brothers really commit to that. Okay, Mike Kwong, apologize.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, it's about, you know, sharing the values and the principles that Nelson laid down and taught us, and that we try to respect and honor, but also being an appropriate conduit as far as like relatability to the audience that you're talking to, right? I think that was really refreshing to see that, no offense, for the most part, you know, most of the think tanks were pretty homogenous as far as the demographic we're talking about. But to see that infusion of, you know, of a new culture, right? Some color. And I appreciate that. And I think that's effective when we're talking about the 10%, right? We're talking about the 10% of everybody, right? We're not just
talking
about a select group of people necessarily. So that was pretty cool. Really cool.
That was a takeaway for me too, Mike Kwong, is having attended since, I think 2012 was my first think tank that I attended. And the faces over the years have changed. And I believe not only the faces, but then also the age demographics.
That's right.
There have been a variety of demographics that have expanded within the Nelson Nash Institute. And my belief is, if we're truly going to reach the 10%, it has to expand to include lots of different demographics. There was a strong presence of young people at the think tank, which was super exciting.
More so than we've ever had.
Yes. And then also the faces, right? The representation, also in gender. A lot of female practitioners and attendees attending. When you contrast, I would love to take a large picture of this last think tank and compare that to my first one in 2012, just visually look at the representation and the difference between those. One of my side notes is, I hope that the board, over time, how they have strategically planned to rotate people in and out, I hope the board more reflects the body of the Nelson Nash Institute. I understand it's still early for that because the board is primarily seasoned folks who have been doing this for a decade or more, right? But I think over time we'll start to see the leadership transition and reflect the body of the Nelson Nash
Institute. I think that'll happen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mike Everett, it's a blend of people that attend the think tank. You have practitioners, you have clients, you have people who are thinking about being a practitioner, maybe they're teaching it, you know, those kinds of things. And then we also celebrated close to 40 new practitioners. Can you talk a little bit about how someone gets to be a practitioner? What's that process for folks?
Well, you know, obviously, first of all, they've got to be licensed. And they've got to be somewhat tied to an agency in order to make that happen. There are very, very few that just come to the table out of the clear blue sky and say, hey, I want to be a practitioner. They're usually recommended through an agency or through a relationship or this and that. But, you know, there is an application process that people go through. They have to then go through a interview process with the board. Mm-hmm. And usually up to now, it has been with just David and Carlos. But I think that they're actually moving that out to where some of the people on the oversight committee, the you know, the practitioners that are alongside the board are getting involved in some of that as well. Then after you've gone through the interview process, they'll say, hey, let's go. And you've got to go through some videos. You've got to take a test, which is humorous in itself. I've got a great story, but somebody's heard it, I'm sure. But it's quite a lengthy process, but I think it goes right along with Nelson's number one principle. You got to think long term. Mm-hmm. So for those people who are just getting in this to make a quick buck, you can sniff those people out pretty quick. They're not going to make it in this business. I can just tell you that. But yet I remember it first. I thought, this is so dumb that they're doing all of this. And now all of a sudden, now that we're kind of down the road, I fully agree with it. So there's not a lot of riffraff.
Well, and something we talked about as a team is, like, you know, Mike Huang and myself looking at, you know, taking the test this year.
Yep.
We're going through the process. Let me rephrase. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of it is, you know, an effort to, you know, further our education, I think. You know, I'm not trying to speak for you, Mike Huang, but, like, you know, further education in IBC and, like, whatever. But some of it's also as a, you know, an opportunity to support the vision of the Institute and what mm-hmm. their goals are over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And I think it shows, like, a bit of solidarity. And we had some chats with different agents there who, you know, encouraged us to look down that path for those very reasons. So,
yep.
Yeah, and there's also a mentorship included as part
of that. Oh, that's right.
So it's not, you know, people don't just go through the interview process and take the test and you get your stamp of approval and, okay, good luck to you.
Have a great day.
I think they work pretty hard. Now, I didn't have this personal experience, so it's not, I didn't need that because I had Mike Everett who mentored me. So I don't know what it looks like for practitioners going through the program. But I know there's an intention to connect new practitioners with seasoned veterans and mentor them through that process. Yeah. On our team, obviously, that wouldn't be necessary because we already have a team and mentors in place. Mike Kwong.
Yes.
Any other content pieces that stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they mentioned, like you said, changing demographic, and there was more youth, you know, in the presence, and there was a presentation with Jason.
That's the one I was going to speak to. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, with his son and nephew, and just kind of talking about how this is, you know, really, it's for the next generation that you're bringing up. Ultimately, it's life insurance, right? So there's a legacy involved. You can't escape that, and that should be respected. But more importantly, it's passing on like the value set and the skill set, how to, you know, talk about IBC at the dinner table, right? How these are really could be woven into your life, right? As a family, especially. And that was just awesome to see, you know, because I mean, we've got Jackie, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, partly wrote my book for, but right. To see like other people doing the same and bringing in that next generation. And it was really powerful, just kind of reminding me what it's all about, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was cool.
You know, what was interesting on their presentation, not once did they talk about the structure of the policy, the PUA, yeah. None of that. And these are young men, these are teenagers, right? And they talked about taking their first policy. One of them took it to, I think it was to buy an Xbox,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
the thing was they explained it so simply,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yep.
that anybody could understand the concept. And what we do sometimes is we overcomplicate it. We get in the weeds and we overcomplicate it. And we're like, nah, just be a 14-year-old, stand up there and explain. So you put money in. You borrow it to buy the stuff you want to buy. You pay it back.
Yeah. I mean, what I loved about that was, to your point, Chris, they kept it simple, right? Because they aren't trying to explain the concepts of infinite banking from a deep dive. They are, right. What is brilliant about that and inspired me. And, you know, I think Kwong, you mentioned this about Jackie, was like, you know, it gave me chills thinking about the opportunity that I get to do that with my kid who's 9, mm-hmm. and like the opportunity that I didn't have growing up. My parents weren't bad with money, but they did not talk about money. You know, Mike Everett used to say, you know, our parents did a good job of raising us, but they did a bad job at teaching us about two things. One was money and the other one was sex. I can't help you with the second, but I'll teach you about the first. I remember that phrase just like it was yesterday. And it's the honest to God truth, you know, and I think what's exciting for me as we continue to grow as an organization, as the NNI continues to develop as an organization and its focus becomes, you know, Nelson centered as it always has been, but it's really honing in. I think I'm excited about that next chapter, you know, that's being written over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. And I kind of cut you off there, Mike Kwong. I'm sorry about that. I was just riffing with what you're talking about with those young men, because I thought they did such a great job of presenting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you liked Ryan Griggs too, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, the IBC geek in me, you know, some of that, you know, and yeah. That was a great kind of like look into the mechanics, right? Like the nuts and bolts of it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nice balance that are as well. It wasn't just, you know, rah, rah, rah. We also got to work and understanding, taking apart PUA and, you know, how that works and, you know, base premium and the importance of laying the structure out for a permanent asset, all that kind of thing. So that was I really enjoyed that.
Me too. I think I might have been the only one on our team. I'm not sure. I didn't see any of you. Did you have a thesaurus out while he was talking?
No, kidding. I needed one.
Apology.
He was using some 50 center words.
Yeah, he did.
Buck 50.
Inflation. Inflation.
I will tell you that he was in my top two presentations at the think tank this year.
Yeah. Incredible. Like he did.
Oh.
He did a fantastic job. So.
Yeah.
No nonsense. And then he got lit up, which was super fun because he doesn't get lit up.
Yeah, he got all.
He went off notes.
Yeah, he did. And it's usually all 100% analytical. Mm-hmm. And when he got into his heart area, oh my gosh.
Very good.
I mean, I could have I would have given him a standing O. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Another element of the think tank is the relationships. I mean, I remember our friend Winnie Lau up in Canada. Yeah. I met her at my very first, I think it was her first think tank as well. And we continue. We connect every single month. We have a standing Zoom meeting that we just connect, and rarely does it have anything to do with IBC.
Yeah.
We're just connecting as friends.
Friends.
And that's the case, is connecting with people. The other piece that I love about the think tank is when we started making the decision that our entire team's going to go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we had some associate coaches that joined us. Keish came and joined us from Philly Keish. Haley joined us. It was so fun having the whole group there together. And we even had some clients attend as well, which was fun to hear them kind of reflect and get excited about that.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
It was exciting. We talked about this. We had a podcast without you, Chris, before the think tank, where the three mics here talked about like our expectations and stuff. And I think as I reflect back on that podcast, which was short and sweet, basically just kind of giving people some insight into what we expected to gain out of it, I don't know that we could have expected what we got.
It exceeded expectations.
Mm-hmm. It did.
It was, I think, the best think tank that I've attended over the years.
And I think a lot of that had to do, I mean, the content was great. We talked a lot about that already, but I think to your point, Chris, there was something exciting about having our whole team there, just the community we got to have with each other and the lunches, the break time discussions, the opportunity to just be with each other as a team. And, like we had clients, we had Pay was there. We had, Haley, I'm sad that Mary couldn't join us, my Mary, because we just had too many other travel things going on. But I think she would have thoroughly enjoyed just the community. I mean, the think tank for her probably would have been, but like the community and the just being around all our team is such it gives me a lot of energy.
Yeah. One of the things I was aware of, and then we can kind of tie a bow on this. So be thinking if you have any final comments that you guys want to make about the think tank experience this year. But to me, as I was reflecting and just kind of sitting back and watching during the think tank, and I'm sure Mike Everett has been here previously, but I saw my role change.
Mm-hmm.
Every other time I've been there, it's been about me learning.
Oh.
And I saw in myself a transition to this is an opportunity to give back and to connect with some young IBC practitioners and encourage and offer support and, those kinds of things. And, I always walk away learning something, always, every single time. There's just no way you couldn't. But I also kind of put on a different set of shoes this time and had the opportunity to connect with some young people. That was really fun. And I think this podcast is a reason for that, because I, for whatever reason, I had a glitch in my matrix. We walked into the very first reception in the evening and there was a circle of people that came up. And I'm like, and they wanted to introduce themselves and all this stuff. And I was like, why are they doing this? And it was because of the podcast. They've been listening to this and they wanted to meet us.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that sparked several conversations and relationships that continued throughout the think tank and continues now. There's, several of us that are texting back and forth and just encouraging and that kind of thing. So it was just interesting for myself to reflect and see that transition. I know, Mike Everett, you've been doing that for years already, but I got to experience that this time for me.
Yeah.
So any other takeaways from you guys before we wrap up this podcast?
Oh, just coincidentally, I have a meeting this afternoon with some contact I met there who wants to pick my brain.
John?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He's one of the ones that I text with, so tell him hi for me.
Will do.
Yeah. And you guys connected because he's also a Navy guy.
Yep,
when I learned that he was a Navy guy, I say, like, oh, I got to introduce you to Mike Kwong. Well, here I knew who you were. So you're famous, man.
No.
All right. Well, to our listeners, thank you for joining us. This content may not be of interest to everybody, but we wanted to give a little bit of insight into our experience and why we continue to go to the think tank and what we get out of it. And then hopefully your experience with your IBC system and the coaching with LSL, you see why it's enhanced because of the ongoing education that we do for you. Yes. So thanks again for joining us. Check us out at our website, lifesuccesslegacy.com, and we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.